Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you an opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
Good morning. Good morning. We've had 2 hours already. Just a little reminder that you could have started listening. Maybe some of you did at 8 o'clock this morning. Leading Edge Medicine is live call-in radio for 4 hours in the Pacific Northwest every Saturday morning. And while I'm talking about that, if you want to find out where we are for all 4 hours, it's all live, you can go to our website, lmclinic.com. Push the podcast button in the top of the page, and it'll list out where we are. And just as a quick reminder, we put all of our past programs there, too, so you can always go back. You hear something a little later in this program today, and you say, holy cow, I got to have that. I got to hear it again. I want my wife. I want my parents, what have you, to hear that, too. Well, by about Monday, we should have it on our website. Push that podcast button on the homepage, and you have access to it. It's really cool. A lot of people do that because sometimes you're listening, maybe you're in your car and you wish you could have written something down and remember all the details. Ah, it's fun to do. Do it all at lmclinic.com. Dr. Umat, are you ready for this afternoon's beautiful you?
Absolutely.
Yes, just another little reminder, folks, you can find out where she is with her brand new show, Beautiful You, with Dr. Samara Umat. If you want to find that, you go to bellamedica.com, because Bellamedica, which is our aesthetic division here at Longevity Medical Clinic, and you can find out where that is.
Jerry, I want to thank you for giving me that opportunity. You know, it's been a great thing, and my whole thing has been to empower both men and women with knowledge always.
Always.
And as I've said on Bella Medica too, on the Beautiful You show, that it's a learning process. You know, I'm not a dermatologist. I didn't train as a dermatologist, but this part of medicine is a new field of medicine. It's growing really, really fast. And sometimes people get confused about what is right and what is wrong, and they are not given the right information because they're getting at it from social media, from friends, from family, from physicians, from nurse practitioners, from PAs, from everybody. And then what I wanted to do was sift through, like Leading Edge Medicine, was sift through the nonsense and what works and what doesn't work, because we're based in science and objective data, and you still do all the research for us, and thank you for that.
Well, you do too.
I do too, yes. but we do it together, but you know, you do the most bulk because you've been doing it for very long, you're efficient at it, and then the protocols are set in place. And for so many things that we do at Bella Medica, you've been instrumental in helping us get there. But now you're taking us to a different level. And that's because the team has proven that you can trust them. And I want to give them a lot of credit for the hard work that they've put in over the years to garner your trust. And you feel that you can give them the resources to push that to a different level. So we're taking Bella Medica from just being in our clinic to a really important place where people can talk to us about their aesthetic needs. And like I always say, beauty comes full circle inside and out. We want you to be healthy inside. It reflects on what you do on the outside. That makes it easier for us to help you. And we've brought so much more stuff now to make it easier to make you a better version of you, both inside and out.
Well, thank you for the kind words. You know, all I've done is follow the literature. That's all I ever do. You know, I spend hours every day just reading journal articles that make most people's eyes cross and for some bizarre reason get me all excited and happy.
And there's that in aesthetics as well.
There is.
Oh my goodness. Yes, definitely. Yeah.
You know, and yeah, I've got a couple of incentives. Of course, one is I'm an old dude. You know, I'm turning 73 this coming week. The other thing is I'm married to a beautiful young woman who wants to be even younger and more beautiful.
Every year.
Every year. Yeah.
And she wants you younger and beautiful every year too.
That's right. I don't know. You know, when we first got together, she told me that she wanted a strong older man to help give her life direction. And I raised both hands and said, I volunteer. So, you know, but yeah, and she is a little obsessive. Now she swears that she's not obsessive.
Of course.
You know, we were talking about her tiny little tummy a while back, and she wants her tummy to be better. And I said, honey, I think you're a bit obsessive about your abdomen. And she said, no, I'm not obsessive. All I want is the belly I had when I was 14. I think that pretty well defines obsession.
So there you go. In any event, Beautiful You with Dr. Samira Umat is on every Saturday afternoon from 1 to 2 o'clock. You want to find out where? It's not on this station, but that's okay. Eventually, maybe I'm going to try to get it on this station. But for right now, you just simply go to bellamedica.com. And you can find out where we are at 1 o'clock today with the new show. Well, it'll be our fourth Saturday today.
That's right.
Again, it's called Beautiful You. And, folks, it's cool. A lot of really, really good things are happening there. In the meantime, we are going to take your calls, your questions, and these two fine doctors are going to answer them for you. If you have a question for either Dr. Umat or Dr. Mixon, you can call right now. I think all the lines are open, all four of them, at 1-888-312-5757. 1-888-312-5757. Pretty much anything goes. Mm-hmm. They can go. I think the last 2 hours was really good. We had incredible questions about diabetes, dementia, and every one of them just pointed out so clearly.
Menopause, what happens to women at menopause?
Yeah, like, we just sort of ended up on that one. And weight gain associated. A nice lady called in and said she's eating, exercising. I think she said in her early 50s. Mm-hmm. But she's still gaining weight, and she couldn't understand why.
Yeah. And, you know, we pointed out to her that it is the normal and natural thing to happen. And it's a result of metabolism changes and hormonal changes and hormone receptor changes with aging. And you need to fix it. But you can't fix it with just diet and exercise. Diet and exercise are good, but they're not sufficient. You need to change and help the underlying metabolism issues before you're going to get really the results you want.
And this is one of the key things we do at Longevity Medical Clinic, clearly. Another thing we talked about, at least briefly, well, pretty extensively, actually, was aspirin. Mm. There's some new information. And for all of you people who have been told, oh, you have to take that aspirin or even a baby aspirin every day, you need to listen up. Jerry, maybe, or you, Dr. Umat.
Both of us.
Either one of you. Why don't you at least bring everybody current with what the latest studies are showing?
You want to? Oh, I'll start. Well, you know, we've used aspirin for many years. Back for, golly, probably 40 years ago, we started using aspirin to prevent second heart attacks.
That's right.
And a little baby aspirin each day was recommended, and many physicians jumped on that and started using it to prevent heart attacks in the first place, and we ended up with millions and millions and millions of people taking aspirin every day. And there are people that have good indications that really need that aspirin. But aspirin, like everything else in medicine, if it's strong enough to help, it's strong enough to hurt.
That's right.
You get a significant number of people with gastrointestinal bleeds. But now there's a new study out that shows that if you get a colon cancer, which, by the way, is one of the most common cancers in people over 50, it the aspirin increases the incidence of metastasis, that is spread beyond the colon, and death as a result of your disease. You have a shorter survival and a higher risk of spread outside of the colon to your other organs if you're taking aspirin. So that's kind of spooky.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So we aren't saying don't take aspirin if you really need it, mm-hmm. but make sure you've got a medical indication so that you're getting sufficient benefit to balance the risk, because there is risk.
Any indication of what the percentage is of people taking aspirin that should not be taking aspirin?
I don't know. You know, it's going to depend on what indications you're looking for and what alternatives there are. For instance, we talked to a person earlier today that was taking aspirin for her atrial fibrillation.
Yes.
And there are other drugs that are even more effective than aspirin in atrial fib. Many doctors don't like to use the other drugs because they're much more expensive. And aspirin is cheap and easy and readily available.
Sure.
But if you're in an age group or you have a family history or a dietary pattern that puts you at increased risk of colorectal cancers, then you need to be cautious with that aspirin.
Yeah, I have a data here from Harvard Medical School that says that a study published in July 2019, that was 1 year ago now, in the Annals of Internal Medicine indicated that 29 million people take an aspirin every day. 29 million. And of that, 6.6 million, almost a quarter of them, 23% of them take it without a doctor's recommendation, and they are at a higher risk of a side effect or a bleed from it. So if you're taking aspirin or a baby aspirin because you have had a stroke or a heart disease and it's to prevent a second event, then that's fine. Your cardiologist puts you on that. But if you're taking it to prevent a first event from occurring, then there's enough studies to show that it causes more harm than good and you shouldn't be on it. And certainly for things like atrial fibrillation, there are better drugs out there that will cause fewer side effects. They're more expensive now, but they are better and fewer side effects than aspirin.
Well, it may be a little more expensive, but holy cow, it's better than bleeding.
Yes.
And
generally,
far better than dying of colon cancer unnecessarily.
Absolutely.
Golly. Absolutely.
So again, I just think of all the people listening right now. It may be in the thousands that are listening right now to us, and they're saying, holy cow, I'm taking an aspirin. With or without doctor's suggestion, but even if their doctor suggested it, this is the time to rethink that.
Yeah, to reevaluate. There may be a perfectly valid reason why aspirin is the best drug for that person.
Yeah.
But we don't want people just taking it willy-nilly.
Willy-nilly is not good. I've always said willy-nilly not good.
No.
Poor Willie.
Willarima, on the other hand, she's kind of cute.
Okay. If let's go to a break.
Don't know anybody called Willarima, Jerry.
Yeah, pretty soon we're going to have Willy Nilly calls in with a question here. So,
hello, Mr. Nilly.
Mr. Nilly or Mr. Willie, here we go with a break. We have been a little silly today, more than normal.
Yes, I think we need it.
Well, I do. In fact, we're going to talk about that. We did a little bit before.
Well, silliness is important during COVID.
Yes, it is.
That's right. Let's talk about that when we come back. We've got two lines still open at 1-888-312-5757. 1-888-312-5757. Give us a call. I think you'll be glad you did. You don't want to go on without your questions answered. That's stressful. Let us relieve your stress here on Leading Edge Medicine.
I've been a longevity patient for about 17 years, and I can remember back in the day, I listened many, many, many times before I took the plunge, because at first I went from skeptical to, you know what, I'm going to do it.
Only you can make all this world seem right. Only you can make the darkness bright.
Only you and you alone can thrill me like you do.
20 minutes past the hour. I could just let it play for another minute or two, but we better get back to work here. You're listening. What? Oh, really? Gee, I thought I was. She was going to break out in song.
I was mesmerized.
Okay. If you just tuned in, no, this is not the oldies show. This is Leading Edge Medicine.
You and I are oldies.
Well, I know. Sponsored, of course, by Longevity Medical Clinic. You know, the lady that just led in, you know, coming back from the break. That she'd been a patient. She's been a patient for years now, but for years she heard the radio show. Mm-hmm. And she said she was skeptical. Mm-hmm. Well, that's obvious. That's typical. That's even appropriate mm-hmm. that people are skeptical because
we don't mind that at all.
We don't mind that at all. But the more you dig, the more digging you do. She got over her skepticism, and at that point, she went to a seminar, because mm-hmm. that's what we used to do for, 19 years? We did as many as 6 seminars a month for all those years, usually about 3 or 4 a month, but we're no longer doing seminars.
Nope.
We're not even tempted to do seminars anymore.
Wrong.
Well, okay. Wrong. Okay. What I meant is we're not tempted to do the regular 3-4 month seminar. We will be doing some more specialty events.
I have a real desire.
Ooh.
One of these days.
Ooh.
To arrange.
Talk about it.
Should we talk about it?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I would love to do a seminar on a focus subject.
Yes.
You know, reversal of cardiovascular disease, lowering your risks of cancer, restoration of human sexuality, something of those along those lines that would be a couple of hours a day for several days in a row and do it on a cruise ship.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Once the epidemic is over.
Your staff are going to come with you, right?
Well, someone's got to stay here and see patients.
Oh, I see.
Okay, then bummer for you.
You can't do it then.
Anyway, that would be nice. Fun.
No, that's exciting. That's
I mean, wouldn't it be nice to do a week cruise through the Mediterranean or the Baltic countries? And, you know, and each evening come back to the ship and do about 2 or 3 hours on a really challenging.
You know what my vote is? See, I go to Europe all the time, as do you. We all do. But I won't go for just a week. I will not go through the time zone changes or what have you. I think we ought to do a 2-week cruise and then have it scheduled out, various things that we'll talk about occasionally throughout the 2 weeks. And if people only have a week, they can just choose, you know, they can get on board in Rome or Lisbon or what have you. And, but that's because I want a 2-week cruise personally.
No.
Or how about this? We do a week of it or 10 days of it on a cruise.
Yeah.
And then we stop for the last 4 or 5 days in Stockholm, which is the most beautiful city on the planet.
I loved it. Museum. Oh, my golly. Okay. We were just there. We were just there before this stupid pandemic hit.
Yeah. So, okay, sounds exciting. But are you taking me or not?
Well, I think he just very politely said no.
I know he did, didn't he? Okay, well, fine then.
Well, unless, of course, you know, I pioneer it, and then once I got it polished a bit, you can go do the next one for us.
Oh, there you go. And what will you do, sir?
Don't hold your breath, by the way.
I know.
But
that's a great idea.
We have toyed with this literally for 15 years. And about 15 years ago, we even started to semi-promote it. And we just got bogged down and it didn't work out. But I dare predict that within maybe a year or so, we might be able to make that happen.
The coronavirus is over and everybody has saved up because they haven't gone on any vacations.
True, yeah, true.
They'll be able to afford a great big whoop-de-doo one.
In the meantime, we'll make them beautiful and smart and sexier, and then they'll be ready to go with you.
They'll be really ready to enjoy that.
There you go.
Now, back to this lady that I referred to who was skeptical. Here's, I'm very, very optimistic about that. We've talked about the scarcity of the free health analysis appointments in the past. It became a real issue. In fact, we've even had people get pretty nasty on the phone occasionally because they tried to make a free and there just weren't any available. And they'd have to wait a month or 2 months or something like that. So what we've done is just operationally, we've made a major shift and we're kind of doubling down. We're growing. I mean, look at Bella Medica, our aesthetic division. I mean, you know, you just spent nearly $1 million on new equipment, what have you. I mean, we're growing. We're adding staff. And so what we've done, even though the health analysis appointments have been scarce, we're actually making additional health analysis appointments. And we're not taking away the incentive. In fact, we're sort of doubling down on the incentive, too. When you make a free health analysis appointment now, you have a choice. You can either have $100 of free supplements, longevity supplements, or you can have our two free fitness books, which we wrote, mostly your direction and yours direction in those books, and the free exercise bands that are so helpful. So you have a choice, the supplements or the bands. Just for coming in for a free appointment where you get the two free tests, the blood test and also the special in-body test. Fascinating test. Anyway, and so what we've done is we have now opened up appointments through September 25th, all right, through September 25th. But there's only about like 20 in each of our three clinics. And they're available on a first-come, first-served basis. So we encourage you right now, you're going to have to wait a few weeks at minimum before you can get in for one of those appointments. But if you wait 3 weeks, you'll have to wait probably another 4 or 5 weeks because they are sought after. So go to our website right now. If you've been listening, like that lady said, and you've been skeptical, well, why not just take this little baby step? You're not making a commitment long term and just have a free appointment and go through the process and get the either the free supplements or the two exercise books and the bands. You do it all by going to lmclinic.com. Push the button. It's almost right smack dab in the middle of the page to make an appointment. Easy, easy, easy to do, I promise. And again, first come, first serve. Go right now, lmclinic.com. Let's go to Seattle and talk to Carl. Carl, welcome to the program.
Hello, Carl.
Carl, are you there? Carl.
Is he sending us Morse code? In the
it
background?
Sounds Morse code.
Yeah, good morning.
Oh, hey, good morning. Carl. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I have a question about my tailbone. I had pain in my tailbone for several months.
Uh-huh.
It didn't get any better. And so I had some x-rays done a few weeks ago. And there was nothing unremarkable, but my pain is still there. And but the only thing I noticed on the radiologist's report was that there was moderate calcification in the abdominal aorta.
Uh-huh.
Now, that kind of concerned me when I asked the doctor about it. He said, well, this is normal for your age, and we don't treat that.
Okay. And your question, is?
Yeah. Should I be concerned?
Okay. I'm more concerned about your sacral pain than I am about your abdominal aortic calcifications. Most of us, as we age, we get inflammatory plaque laid down in our arteries, and it's in all of our arteries. And your body's response to the inflammation is to stabilize the plaque by putting calcium in it. So all that tells me is that over the course of your years, you've laid down some plaque and you have now calcified that plaque to keep it from rupturing and being a problem. So it is a sign of long-term inflammation, but in and of itself, it's not something we can do much about at this point. The question, of course, is what's causing that pain and do they have any relationship? So let me ask you a couple of other questions. Are you having urinary symptoms? Is your urine flow slowing way down?
It has slowed down, yeah, but there's nothing that should be a concern. I should be concerned about because they checked it, and I had some urinary infection a few months ago, and that was treated with antibiotics, sure. And it went away.
Okay. But you see, you've just raised a red flag. Urinary tract infections in older women are very common. Urinary tract infections in men are not nearly as common. And then we need to ask ourselves why. What else is going on? When was your last PSA test done?
A couple of years ago.
Okay. And you're how old?
I'm 80.
Right, yeah, so they're probably not going to want to repeat your PSA in the future, but I'd want to insist on it anyway. When I see an older man with a history of urinary infections and pain anywhere in the pelvis, from any pain anywhere from the belly button down, I worry about prostate cancers. I worry about vascular issues. I'd really prefer to have you go back, get another PSA, and then ask your doctor, why did I get this bladder infection? You know, I'm not a woman. I don't, you know, men don't have that little 1 centimeter long urethra that opens into the top of the vagina, which is, you know, a bacteria and yeast laden area. We've got a urethra that runs down the length of the penis and protects us against retrograde infections very efficiently. And so if a man is getting bladder infections, where are the bacteria coming from? Are they coming in from the bloodstream? Is there urinary retention where he's not truly emptying his bladder well? Is there a prostate issue? From what you're telling me, I got a lot more questions than answers. And that sacral pain is coming from something. I mean, it doesn't just, pain for no reason. And so somebody needs to do an investigation. Okay, your X-ray was okay, but there's a lot more sensitive ways to look at that sacrum than a plain X-ray film. I'd be far more interested in getting a pelvic MRI to really see what's going on in your pelvic structures.
Uh-huh. Okay, yeah. I also have this. I was diagnosed with dystonia for quite a few years, and a lot of involuntary muscle movements constantly, and that affects my hip. And the doctors thought maybe that is, that pain in my sacrum is caused by that involuntary abrupt muscle movements all the time.
Well, yeah, and that's possible. You may have a neurologic disorder here that's causing the pain because nerve pain is very real. So once more, get a good neurology consult, get a good urology consult, get some imaging studies. You never just accept pain as a given. Pain is being caused by something, and you really need to find out what.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Carl.
All right, thank you.
We do appreciate
good luck to you,
the
sir.
Call and the question. Yeah, good luck to you. Thank you for listening. And with that, when we come back, we've got a question from Pam about vitamin D, and then Dan from Graham wants sort of a follow-up discussion, I think, about aspirin. Right. He and probably 1,000 other people listening right at this very moment say, holy cow, I'm taking an aspirin every day. I don't know if I should be. So you don't want to go far. And also, don't forget, go ahead and grab one of those free health analysis appointments. You will be glad you did. Everybody, I can virtually guarantee it, walks out of here after that free health analysis appointment saying, holy cow, that was a smart thing to do. You'll say the same thing. Go to lmclinic.com. Make your appointment right now.
There are certainly a lot of benefits for being a patient at Longevity. Strength, endurance, energy, they're all increased. And I feel absolutely great. I'm in my mid-70s now, and I see no end in sight. Thank you, Longevity.
What a drag it is getting old. Kids are different today. I hear every mother say, mother needs something today to calm her down. And though she's not really ill, there's a little yellow pill. She goes running for the shelter of her mother's little helper, and it helps her.
Why are you giving me that look?
Not you, the singer.
Oh, yeah, well.
Mother doesn't need a little yellow pill. Mother needs hubby to have the little blue pill. Get rid of her anxiety.
I'm not sure I want to go there right now.
Well, actually, it does quite a lot of good, not just in one area, but in multiple areas of your health,
right.
Cardiovascular
in
health.
In fact, those PDE5 inhibitors are great for women and men. Lower the risk.
Explain.
Lower the risk of cancer and heart disease. And
what are those little pills you're talking about?
PDE5 inhibitors, or don't you know those?
Well, the blue pills.
Well, I think I do, but I want our audience to understand.
Viagra, Cialis, Levitra, the drugs that are usually thought of as
male.
Erectile function drugs for men. It turns out that many cancers are very rich in PDE5s, and in PDEs, several of them, and the inhibitors actually inhibit the growth of many cancers. They help prevent the cancers. They help to slow the growth of the cancers. They help the heart to beat more efficiently and lower the risk of death with heart attacks and strokes.
So are you telling me, let's be clear here, are you telling me that it might be therapeutically a good idea for, let's say, guys in their 60s or 70s, 80s, 90s, to take maybe regular small dosages of
40s, 50s, 60s, 70s,
okay, 80s, even
90s,
40s, 90s, I 20, suppose.
Yeah, yes, and probably for their spouse too.
No kidding.
Yeah,
spouses too.
Yes, women too. Women. Women have hearts.
Well,
and
remember
lungs
several years ago, you came back so excited from this conference that you had been to, where an observational study of PDE5 inhibitors showed that it was the most impactful in reducing risk for coronary artery disease in men.
Yes. And the combination of testosterone and PDE5 inhibitors lowered the risk of heart attack deaths by 80% in men, but it also lowers the risk of breast cancer in women. So,
that's cool.
Yeah. And by the way, just as it gives men erectile function, it gives women erectile function. People forget that women have this little thing called a clitoris that has the same nerve supply and much of the same blood supply that a man's penis does. And that clitoral erection and tingling and improved blood supply and sensation that they get there, while it may not be an aphrodisiac, certainly enhances sexual response. And there are studies that show that women that have intercourse with a man without using a condom, so they're actually getting semen in the vaginal vault, have much less depression than women. There are
who has less depression?
The women.
I know where you're going.
Sorry.
And yes, the men are happy about that too. This is a therapy that most men are delighted to help their spouse with.
Right.
But yes, because the women are actually absorbing many of the chemicals and hormones, including testosterone, that raises their mood. And guess what? Testosterone is a mood elevator in men and women.
Mm-hmm.
It makes them more cheerful, more upbeat, more optimistic. And so, yes, healthy.
You have no idea the razzing I take from my friends because of this show. I take more razzing, and this topic gives me more grief. But
gives
ahead.
Me more joy. I don't know.
Well, and me too.
Causes you
but,
grief.
Talk about the razzing.
All right, gentlemen. All right. Let's
so
keep it to the science.
I don't even. Well, we are.
That is the science.
That is the science.
Yeah. So. Yeah. No, look. Healthy human beings.
It's true.
Healthy human beings are sexual creatures. That's male and female. You know, if you're not a sexual creature, you're not a healthy human being. There's something that has gone awry. And the question is what?
So, it's interesting. I can't believe I'm going to tell this story, but my mom and dad had a great relationship, very great relationship, physically, emotionally, and what have you. They were so close, but they came from a world mm-hmm. that was so old-fashioned, staunch, conservative, what have you. My mom actually told me she was confident that her dad had never seen her mom naked. Now, they were able to make babies mm-hmm. Very quietly.
In the dark, under the covers.
In the dark, under the covers and what have you. And it always broke my heart. I mean, I barely knew them, but it was, that's a sad thing. We're in a new day and age today where hopefully those kinds of things don't go on anymore.
Yeah. It's cycles.
It,
you know,
oh, it does.
Culture,
doesn't it?
Culture cycle.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a matter of a new age. It's a matter of where your culture is going. Let me give you an example just for fun. Do you know how the Christian religion got horns and hooves and the cloven tail, etc., for their version of Lucifer?
No.
Go ahead.
Okay. It's in the early Crusades, as the Crusaders were going across towards the Middle East, mm-hmm. and they came across, and of course they carried priests with them, and they came across Greece. And in Greece, this was a non-Christian country at the time, far before it became Roman Orthodox. And they came across Pan, the rites of Pan.
Mm-hmm.
And Pan was half man, half goat. He was a man with the horns on his head, but from the waist down, he was a goat.
Mm.
Okay. And the cleaned up Christianized versions of Pan that we see in our little textbooks today is very different from the ancient Greek versions. If you see the old Greek versions of Pan, he had an erection that reached almost to his chest. And this was a fertility god. And the Greeks had these wildly lascivious activities with everybody doing everybody, and it was just a very, very wild sort of thing. The early Christian priests came across this, and they were appalled. They were appalled. And Pan, this god of fertility and joy and feasting and wine, became the prototype for Lucifer.
Interesting.
And that's where we get our current pictures of Lucifer in Christian literature.
Mm.
He is a devilized version of Pan.
Interesting.
The god of fertility and joy and feasting and wine.
Interesting stuff. You always learn something here. And on Leading Edge Medicine, even if it isn't about medicine.
That's right.
So there you go.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, first time I went to Greece and I went to the museums and I saw the 2,000 and 3,000 year
sure.
old statues of Pan. I said,
yeah.
Okay, I never saw that aspect of him in my elementary school textbooks.
That's right. Okay. Well, that's cool. So here we go. I'm going to skip this break because we've just got too much to do. We want to go to Pam in Centralia right now. Pam, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm sorry. This is just going to be so boring after the wonderful conversation I've been listening to. You could just continue on with that, and I'd be happy. But I called a couple weeks ago, and I said I didn't need to stay on the line, and then I had to leave, and so I don't know if you addressed this. But I wondered if you sold in your clinic vitamin D if it's better than something that I go buy, like Nature Made D3, is it better? I mean, if I'm going to take it, and I have had mine measured, I'm at a 36, and I seem to stay there. That's the 36 with a range from that clinic or farm, wherever it goes, is from 30 to 100. And so I fall in this 36, which I would like to increase after having listened to you for many years.
Sure. Okay. You know, I can't tell you whether it's better or not because I've never done an analysis on you, on your brand. The only thing I can tell you, vitamin D3 is the appropriate form. So you're taking the right form of vitamin D. That part is good. Your number tells me you're probably not taking quite enough of it. You know, I'd love to get you between 60 and 90. Some people only need, 1,000 or 2,000 units a day. Some people need 5,000. I personally need about 5,000. Pete needs, 10,000?
She has me now.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly sure why you brought me down from 10,000 a day to 7.
Your number was 100, or your number was higher than goal. Trying to not let it go too high, toxic levels.
Okay, so I'm at 7,000 a day.
Remember, it's a fat-soluble vitamin, so you're going to absorb it, and it's going to stay there for a while.
Yeah,
and it changes very slowly.
Yes.
But the trick is you have to take enough to get your levels where you are, because different people absorb it differently.
Right.
You know, it's what you put in your mouth is not necessarily what's ending up in your bloodstream.
Yeah.
And so, you need to take it enough, and you need to take it frequently enough to get your blood levels where they're supposed to be.
Right.
And whatever that amount is for you is the amount you need.
Yeah, and as Pete just pointed out, for us, the values change. How much we give you changes all the time, depending upon your blood levels are. And then just to answer your question a little bit more, at Longevity, none of the doctors ever insist where you buy your supplements, but the vast majority of our patients buy Longevity supplements. And the only time I ask them to buy from us is if I'm not getting the results that I should be getting given the dose that they are taking.
Or they think they're taking.
Or they think they're taking. Exactly right. So if there's a discrepancy and I'm giving them large amounts, but it's not really matching up with what the blood levels are showing, then I ask them to put theirs aside and pick up ours and let me see what the blood levels show.
The reason that she's having that issue is that when I started this clinic 22 years ago, I used to just give people lists of vitamins to take, and they would go to the store and buy whatever. But what I discovered was that when companies that do objective testing of vitamins, they take vitamins off the shelves and they test to see what's really in them. What's on the label often has almost no relationship to what's actually in the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And it may say 5,000 units and you're only getting 3,000. So what I did was I contracted with the companies and I said, look, I want, when you ship vitamins to us, I want every batch tested and I want it to be within 5% of the label claim. I don't want 20% or 30% off. I want within 5% plus or minus, so that when my people take a pill that says 5,000, I know they're actually getting 5,000. And so I don't know that the quality is that different. I know that the dosing is closely controlled.
So if I bought some of yours, this is just my thinking, not you don't have to respond to this other than if I bought yours and I tried this for a year, although I realize there's other things that happen. If I'm out in the sun, I'm absorbing it naturally. The kind that I am using also has calcium carbonate of 90 milligrams in it that I didn't realize until I read the label to be prepared to ask you about this. I don't know if that is something that I think what I will do is get some of yours and just try that and see how things go for a year or so. But you have answered my question, so thank you very much.
Well, hang on here because you want to say something more.
Well, I just say that don't wait a year to check it, okay? We check our patients at least twice a year. I like to see my people tested in the fall. That tells me what they've absorbed through the summer with all their summer exposure and so on.
Right.
And then again in the spring, that tells me where they are after a long, cool, dark, cloudy winter.
And you're talking specifically vitamin D.
Vitamin D.
We test more than twice a year
for our patients,
Most of our stuff is tested every 3 months, certainly our hormones and so on.
But her question about the calcium.
Yeah. Probably not a big impact. It's probably something they just put in to be putting it in.
Yeah. But, you know, Pam, just one other thing that comes up here is should people be taking less or more during the summer months? I often find when I'm doing lab work that they need the same dose and maybe a little bit more in the winter times. So when people cut back in the summer thinking that sun exposure and they're absorbing a lot more, a lot of times it's not reflected in their blood tests.
We are far north.
Yes.
And our summer sun is relatively low on the horizon, and we're filtering out an awful lot of the ultraviolet that triggers our vitamin D production. Also up here in the north, we tend to hide from the sun.
We do.
On sunny days, still wearing long sleeve shirts and walking in the shade.
And then if you're putting any kind of foundation or anything that has sunblock in it, then you really are not absorbing that much.
But so. I want to bring another thing. I think Pam will find this interesting. She asked about the quality. And Jerry, I think you're far too modest. You are a wild-eyed, crazy person about quality. And I think omega-3s are a perfect example. We sell an omega-3 here. Now, a lot of people say, oh, well, Costco sells omega-3, mm-hmm. and they're really cheap.
And they are.
And so, go ahead. Come on. I mean, do I really have to pull this out?
Well, no, it's just that I want people to have a typical dose of omega-3s from a place like that is running about 300 to 400 milligrams of actual omegas, and it's mostly oil.
But it says it's 1,000 milligrams.
Yeah, but it's 1,000 milligrams total in the pill. It's not necessarily of active omega-3s. And, you know, our 1,000 milligram actually had 950-some milligrams of true omega-3s.
And Costco's?
Well, it depends on which brand they're selling this week. There are multiple manufacturers that come up with Costco stuff.
Okay.
And price point is the biggest issue with Costco. You know, they negotiate with, boy, hammers and tongs trying to keep their pricing very, very low.
Right.
But there's sometimes a trade-off between price and quality.
And let me also point out that the other reason that you finally decided at my encouragement to develop your own vitamin line was when you told people to go get this vitamin in this dosage, this vitamin in that dosage.
They were spending 3 and 4 times as much as they do when they actually get ours, because they were often to get what I wanted them to have, they were also taking a lot of other stuff that was mixed in those pills.
Combined.
Yes.
And so to actually do what you wanted to do, about 2 years into when you started longevity?
Somewhere right about year 2000.
Yeah.
And originally, of course, when I did develop the vitamins, I did not want to sell them to the public.
Yeah, you were.
No, I only made those for my patients.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was a couple of years after I got them developed for my patients that you convinced me to put them on the website and let radio listeners and stuff get them. That's never been my major thrust to be a vitamin purveyor.
Well, you came from that old school of saying, well, doctors don't sell things. They doctor.
Sure.
And I was very happy to talk you out of that nonsense, because you wanted to do what was best for your patient.
Yes.
Why not do what is best for the radio listeners?
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, there are still some that we don't sell to radio listeners unless they are our patients also. That's because the levels in the blood impact on their function physiologically, and we have to measure them. So,
DHEA is one of those, right?
And pregnenolone.
Yes.
And although they can go get them outside, we won't sell them because it's very important for us to know what dose they really need. I'm changing the doses of those vitamins all our
like you did for me.
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
So it's very important to know what they're doing for you and not just take them, you know, willy-nilly.
So the bottom line, we came up with, we have what we call, and it's available to you folks, what we call longevity essentials. And
The other thing too was that
don't forget
Jerry,
the foundations.
So that's what I was going to say, Jerry. You have started. You revamp the formulas constantly to keep up with the science and to keep up with what is better for our patients. Mm-hmm. So that's the foundations. That's our new thing that you came up with recently. Doctors all talked about it.
I call it the foundation because it's the baseline supplementation that I think most people need. And then on top of that, we add whatever else they need. Things like, you know, if they've got inflammation or joint pains and stuff, we add the relief factor. Or we may add the coenzyme Q10 and the acetyl-L-carnitine. But the foundation is the base. And that's what we basically would like everybody to start with in the clinic.
And that, you know, for people to say, well, what should I take as a base? I'm taking a one-a-day supplement, let's say. A lot of people do that, which unfortunately is not necessarily the smartest thing to do.
Nope.
But, in fact, you get pretty heated about talking about those things.
I just get tired about people wasting their money.
That's right. So if you want more information about what a basic program might look like, just supplementation-wise, well, go to our website, lmclinic.com, push the store tab on the top of the page, and check out the things that we make available.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? All right. Boy, do I have time to grab a... Let's go to Craig in Tacoma. Craig, welcome to the show. We've got 2 or 3 minutes here. We can help you.
Hello, Craig.
Okay, succinct. Can you hear me okay?
You bet.
Good morning to all of you. Appreciate your show. Two things, if we might be able to cover them. One is fatty lipomas, which in my later years, I'm in my mid-60s now, good shape. Today I'll be doing a speed walk on the waterfront. No issues, no problems in there. The fatty lipomas appear to have been a little more prevalent the last 6 to 8 years right now. Sometimes I have them removed because they irritate muscle areas a little bit. I had them when I was in my 20s, just a few removed. So I'm wondering, causes of those, anything I can do to prevent those? Is it a diet thing? Is it a dairy thing? And then the second part would be a question on a post-op surgery and the supplements that would best help me.
Okay. Lipomas are generally just a genetic predisposition.
And what are they?
They're basically fatty tumors. It's a collection of fat that has had a membrane form around it, so that it actually gives it a shape like a lump or a rounded thing. As whereas if it didn't have that membrane, it would just be a flat, smooth layer of fat and you wouldn't notice it was there. And they're not dangerous, but if they get big enough, they can stretch and compress a blood vessel or a nerve, and then they can become uncomfortable and need intervention.
I'll tell you, Craig, what we need to do here is hang on. We'll hold you over to the break. We have a top of the hour ID and a little bit of news, not much. So give us about 2 or 3 minutes and we will come back to Craig from Tacoma with just finishing up, because he may have a follow-up question for you, Jerry. So don't go far. It's a short break. Our number two here on 570 KVI of Leading Edge Medicine is right around the corner. Don't go far. We'll be right back.